By buying the world, Jesus is saying that the Muslim and the Hindu and the Buddhist and the atheist and the non-religious and the agnostic, everyone, all can come to me and receive salvation from my hands. Tolerance. Have you heard of tolerance? Well, on the surface, it sounds like a wonderful word, and it is. But in reality now, it's a new religion. It really is. A new religion that is sweeping across the Western world. Tolerance is the most intolerant religion. And woe unto the person who refuses to embrace its tenets. The high priests of this new religion would preach freedom of choice. You're free to choose your car, you're free to choose your house, you're free to choose your mate, you're free to kill a baby in a mother's womb, you're free. Except, you're not free to choose to believe that there's only one way to heaven and salvation. You're not free to publicly speak about the truth and that Jesus is the only truth. At that moment, those ministers of this new religion of tolerance can cause you the loss of your job. They can throw you out of school or university campus. They can discriminate against you. They can ostracize you. They can alienate you. Above all, they will label you as intolerant. And beloved, this is the unpardonable sin in the religion of tolerance. This epistle of Peter, as I told you in the very beginning, I'm calling it, It's Never Too Late, because it is seldom preached from in many a pulpit, seldom quoted. And yet, it is as relevant to the believers, the ones who love the Lord Jesus, as relevant today to strengthen us to stand up and stand out than even in the time when it was written. In the last message from 2 Peter, we saw Peter not only assailing the false teaching, but he was denouncing the false teachers. This is the battle of the Christian believers in this generation. Because eternity is at stake. Nothing short of eternity that's at stake. Falsifying or modifying the gospel just to fill in the pews is a serious offense to God. But beloved, here's what Peter tells us. He's saying this is not new. Because wherever the word of God is preached, Satan is always behind with his falsehood. John 8:44. Satan is the father of all lies. He is the inventor. He is the promoter. He is the preacher of all lies, and he uses false teachers in the church to do it, to promote this lie. But Peter said something else here again. Look at it with me, please. This is not new because even in the Old Testament, he's talking about the people of God. Back in the Old Testament, there were false prophets. Even back then, just as there are false teachers today, his day, our day. But there were also false prophets, talking about the Old Testament, among the people, just as there were false teachers among you. Beloved, we have tolerated false teaching for too long. Amen. So much so today, I have known and you have known Bible-believing Christians. And I'm not talking about professing Christians. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians, evangelicals who are embarrassed about biblical absolutes. They're embarrassed about it. We say, well, I believe it, but you don't have to. That's how they kind of couch it. You can always discern a false teacher by how easily he or she embrace the worldly culture. Did you get that? You can always discern a false teacher or preacher by how easily they embrace worldly culture and popular culture. When that happens, a congregation that was once on fire for God, slowly but surely, no longer endure sound doctrine. They no longer endure sound teaching. Congregations that once was Christ-centered, had Christ-centered worship and preaching, they give way to man-made antics and entertainment. The Bible emphasis that was once preached about sin and repentance and the holiness of God become replaced by emphasis on self-esteem and felt needs. These false teachers will never come out and say, I don't believe the Bible anymore. I really never believed the Bible. I don't believe the Bible is inspired word of God. I don't believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture. No. They're too clever for that. They'll couch it with a disclaimer. Why? Because, for example, the virgin birth, when they say, you don't have to, but you come to Jesus. How do you come to a Jesus who is not divine? If he's not divine and he's born just like all of us, of the will of man, with the seed of man, then he is a sinner. How can a sinner bear the sins of sinners? You see, the very core of the gospel is at the stake here. When they say, well, you know, you don't have to believe in the sanctity of marriage, what they're doing, they are destroying the very purpose of God in creation. What are these false teachers doing? According to the Word of God, they are exchanging the truth of God's words for their own self-styled opinion. And Peter is saying these false teachers have been, are, and always will be around. They'll always be around. Peter is giving us a number of ways to spot a false teacher and a false preacher. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. They will subtly introduce destructive heresies. They're very subtle. They're too slick. They're very sneaky. Sometimes they will use word like love. But really, they meant something else. In reality, they want you to love them, not love the truth. The word destructive heresies here, it means a doctrine that contains some truth, but cleverly blended with error. It's like a glass of water with few drops of hemlock or cyanide. One word. In one word, Peter is telling us these false teachers are the masters of deception. They're brilliant communicators. They just have enough of the truth there to make the unsuspecting keep on coming to them, keep on coming to them, while they are slowly but surely, they are poisoning the water. And Peter is saying, these people deny the Lord. Who on God's earth can know what it means to deny the Lord like Peter? He knew what it means to deny his Lord, and yet he also knows how welcoming the Lord is to every repentant person, even the one who deny him, just like the difference between him and Judas. Peter turned to the Lord and he was renewed and given a great ministry. Judas hung himself. So it is my prayer that if you are tempted, Pastor, to go down that road, that you will turn back to the Lord before it's too late. In fact, the Greek word for deny means contradict or reject or disavow. They deny the Lord who bought them. I want you to say those words with me. They Some of you are saying, wait a minute. He bought them? And the reason I'm going to dwell in this for a minute is because people fought over this for 2,000 years. I want to clarify it for you so you will never miss it. Deny the Lord who bought them. What does it mean, the Lord who bought them? Beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and his blood kept on dripping until he died on that cross, by this very gracious act, Jesus bought the whole world, the whole world. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he handed the deeds of planet Earth to Satan. But on the cross, Jesus arrested the planet Earth's deeds from Satan's hand. And so he bought the whole world. It means that redemption is possible for everyone, every human being on the face of the earth. By buying the whole world, Jesus' redemption now is possible for whomsoever. By buying the whole world does not mean that he redeemed the whole world, as some of these false teachers are teaching. By buying the world, Jesus is giving everyone an opportunity to come to him and be redeemed. By buying the world, Jesus is saying that the Muslim and the Hindu and the Buddhist and the atheist and the non-religious and the agnostic, everyone, all can come to me and receive salvation from my hand. That's what buying the world means. He bought it all, but he did not redeem it all. This is vitally important, beloved, because every statistic shows 64% of so-called evangelical Christians believe that there are many ways to God. I told you, this is the battle of our time. On the cross, Jesus redeemed whomsoever comes to him to be saved, not redeemed the whole world, like so many of these universalists are saying. In reality, redemption is only for those who have received Jesus Christ as their only Savior and Lord. Redemption is only for those who have availed themselves to the value of that shed blood on Calvary. And even Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 13:44, Jesus pictures himself as the man who sold everything. He gave up everything. He gave up his glory in heaven. He gave the splendor of heaven. He gave his all to buy a field. And the Bible said the field is the world. Verse 2, these false teachers who are lowering biblical standards of morality, these false teachers who are encouraging self-indulgence, sexual perversions, they will be swiftly judged. They'll be swiftly judged. Verse 3, those who wink at wickedness and immorality for personal gain, those who have chosen the ministry not because God's call on their life, but because it's a lucrative profession, those who have chosen to be ministers not because they care for the people's eternity, but for their own self-aggrandizement, they may become accepted and loved by the sinful culture. They may receive the applause and the accolades and the approval of the sinful culture. And yet, in reality, they are digging their own eternal grave. Doesn't give me any joy saying this. Someone may be asking, and I know somebody asked me that several months ago, if that is the case, why these people are so successful? Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you the answer. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with God. God is very, 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 how many verys are these? Very patient. God is long-suffering. God gives them ample opportunity to turn to him and repent. Just as he gave an opportunity to Peter, who denied him. But in the end, please do not judge things by appearances. The last chapter has not been written yet. And then in verses 4 to 11, Peter gives us specific biblical evidence of how God is going to deal with the wicked, how God is going to sooner or later going to judge them. They will not get away with it. Verse 4, God judged angels, and he kicked them out of heaven when they sinned. When Lucifer and one-third of the angelic being rebelled against the holy God, they were thrown out of heaven into the very pit of hell, and they will be eventually thrown into the lake of fire when Jesus comes back in power and great glory. And so he sent these fallen angels to utter doom, and he'll do the same with false preachers and teachers. But not only fallen angels were severely judged. The ancient world, when they turned their backs on the truth of God, they suffered doom and destruction. In fact, the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 gives us a description of the culture at that time. I'll read it to you and see if that picture does not fit our time. When every imagination of thoughts of their heart were only evil continuously. Only Noah and his family were righteous, and they were saved. Let me ask you this. Do you know how long it took God to preach righteousness through Noah to his generation? Do you know how often he pleaded with them, escape, 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 while escaping is good? Do you know how many years? 120 years. Oh, God is long-suffering. He's patient. Now fast forward 450 years from the time when the flood came and covered the whole earth. We even have archaeological evidence 450 years after the flood. The twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah turned their back on the witness of a righteous man by the name of Lot, and God judged them severely. Now, I don't know about you, but I think some of you, if you're like me, when you looked at this verse 7, and says, righteous man like Lot. Now, wait a minute. We know that guy. He was righteous? I preached on Lot many years ago, but how can the Bible calls him righteous? Listen carefully, please. Verse 8 tells you the answer. For by what the righteous man saw and heard as he lived among them, he was tormented. The old translation said he was vexed. Literally, it means he was tortured. He was being tortured. Hear me right, please. What I'm going to say to you is going to surprise some of you. Not all of you. It's going to surprise some of you. But I hope you understand me, not misunderstand me. The mark of righteousness, and we in the New Testament believers only have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own. But the mark of righteousness, of how you react to the sinful culture in which we live. The false preachers and teachers say, let's accommodate to it. Under the guise of engaging the culture, they're swimming in the murky water of the culture. But the righteous weeps over the sinful culture. The righteous soul is distressed over it. The righteous heart breaks in two. And the righteous hearts long for them to come, pray for them to come, and do what they can to introduce them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the question is, when you come into direct contact with evil culture, in which we all live, how do you react? How do you react? How do you react? Do you want to accommodate to it? Do you want to go along with it? Do you want to accept it as an inevitable progress? Or do you weep over it? Or do you seek with all your heart to light a candle in that dark place Does it drive you on your knees to pray for them and witness to them? Like Noah 450 years before Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot stood against the sin of his day. And then in verse 9, Peter assures us that God is able to deliver the righteous and judge the deceiver. He's able to do it, and he'll do it. Beloved, listen to me, and I'm about to close. Of these false teachers and false preachers, they are misleading untold number of people. They're telling them that they can pick and choose what they like and what they don't like from the Word of God, that the Word of God has never been inerrant, that the Word of God has never been infallible, that the Word of God was never God-breathed. In reality, these people are misled all the way to a Christless eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to die on this hill. I'm willing to die for this truth. You who know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's your decision whether you are willing to stand for the truth or accommodate to our evil culture. It's your decision whether you want to be misled by false teachers or get into the Word of God. But there may be somebody here today, and this stuff kind of new to them, and they never really given their life to Christ. They never surrendered their life. They never know what it means to come to Jesus just as they are and say, Lord, forgive me, and receive the forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness, and the gift of eternal life. Well, you can do that today.
Connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram to receive daily updates from Dr. Youssef and reports from the team on the ground, leading the way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Together, we are sharing the gospel around the world through every available means. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.
At the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, every Sunday I meet people from all over the United States, from Maine to California, and they love the experience. They said for years we've been wanting to come and visit. And so if you're ever in Atlanta, Georgia, I would love for you to come and visit. Shake my hand, and I want to thank you in advance for making that to be a priority in your life. Visiting Apostles. God bless.